Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation. So excited to have you here today. I am a little, truth be told, I'm a little scatterbrained. We actually just, I just finished a live for Grow My Service Company. We had Michael Kuhn on, one of the attorneys. Great guy. You have to let me know if you dug him. Maybe even Lindsay could put the link to the episode we just did with him a couple months ago. We had him on this show, and I just had him on the Grow My Service Company show. Maybe we'll put that up. But anyway, he and I were running late. I'm late. I'm so sorry. Today, we are here to talk about not Michael Kuhn or the Grow My Service Company podcast, but the way to get out of cleaning forever. Really probably the favorite topic I have. Making money, having systems, doing processes, all that stuff is great. But probably my favorite thing in the world, certainly as it relates to business, is helping owners of cleaning companies stop cleaning forever. And yeah, and I love that Lindsay was here saying, stand by, we'll be here momentarily. Good to see you, Denise and Adriella. Glad to have you. All right. Oh, by the way, if you're getting value from the show, subscribe, rate, review, refer to a friend. At the end, if you hang out, I will let you know how to get a copy of my book, I'm a Freaking Genius, Why Is This Business So Hard, for free. Bianca says, is that live? I was live. Now it's not, but we'll get you recordings of both. Lindsay can post the link to Michael Kuhn's episode. All right. So I started, I kind of allude to it. I don't know if I've given the full story in a while, but I give it to you, A, so you know what kind of knucklehead I am, and B, we can help you make smarter, better mistakes as opposed to the big dumb ones that I made. I'm 46 now at this recording, which feels so old saying, makes me so sad. Mariana says, awesome topic, never gets old for motivation. I'm so glad that you said that, Mariana, because we're going to give you the tools that you need to get out of cleaning forever. A lot of it has to do with your belief and your commitment to that cause, right? If you're merely interested in it, it's a son of a gun. The day that you go, I will no longer be cleaning, hard to quit today, but you give yourself 2-3 weeks, that will be my last day cleaning forever, no matter what. That's really what it takes. So we're going to give you the tool, but that motivation is a big deal. Okay. So I bought my first business I was 22 years old. I was so young and so dumb. Oh, if I could go back and talk to young Mike, I have so many things to say. And I bought a ServiceMaster franchise, and the guy that owned it, it was really sad. His wife was dying of cancer. She was really sweet and had kids, and he was kind of a jerk. I don't know. It was odd that his wife was such a sweetie and he was just not. Anyway, I think they'd had like 4 employees or something. I bought the accounts, the you have to pay, you know, ServiceMaster. That's the cost money of a franchise, the employee, not that you can buy human beings, but you know, basically I bought the business. So the way that ServiceMaster runs is you can't own a business without going through their school. So when you buy a franchise, A, they have to prove the deal, which they did. I don't know what they're thinking. If you look at me, that was nutballs. Back when I was 22. But anyway, I had to go to this school in Memphis, Tennessee. I don't know if they still run their deal in Memphis, but it was a 2-week deal in Memphis. And part of the deal I had with the owner was that he would run the company while I was gone. So I think we'd already closed. I can't remember if we closed, but I think I don't know when we closed, but, now I'm looking back on, man, that was scary. Did you pay him all that money before you went to the school and you let him run your car? I don't know how we did it, but dicey. Anyway, we came back. I had graduated from school. I knew everything I felt like I needed to do to take over Grand Junction, Colorado's commercial cleaning world. And I think we got in late, like Sunday night, woke up Monday. Like my first day, I was so excited, ready to go. This is back in the late 90s. So, hey, Darren says he lives in Memphis. I was there, Darren. It was awesome. I don't think I've been back, but it was so fun back then. Anyway, I went back to get the newspaper. This shows you how long ago it was, right? There's no Twitter. There's just the newspaper. And I can't remember if the newspaper was there, but there was a little yellow sticky on my door that said, we quit, - the employees. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if the guy turned, the old owner turned him against me, or, hey, Amanda, good to see you, sister. Long time no talk. So I don't know what happened. I don't know if the guy had turned them against me, which would be crazy because I owed him money, right? We gave money down. I owed him like $1,500 a month for a lot of months. But anyway, they quit. And I only met them once, and there was no like brouhaha. So I have no idea why why that happened, why they quit. Sorry, there's a noise back there. Anyway, that literally happened 8, 9 in the morning, and I had accounts that night, right? It was Monday. So thank goodness we were commercial cleaners. I had till 5 o'clock to kind of get my head straight. And my wife and I at the time, we went out and started cleaning 5 o'clock that morning. I think we got done at like 4 in the morning. Like it was like a 12-hour day of cleaning because we were doing the cleaning of, I think we had 4 employees. So basically 2 full teams were the work. And I don't know if Mondays were slow or busy, but it was busy for us. So that was my very first day cleaning. And awful. And I looked at the time, I was 22. I looked like I was 12. So literally during the day we would, and I was running it out of my apartment at that time because the guy had been running it out of his house. I'd wake up in the morning, we'd go to, there's a restaurant on Grand Junction. I actually went back called Puffer Bellies. It's still there. I would do interviews at the Puffer Bellies restaurant to like full grown adults. I'm this 22-year-old kid that looks like he was 12. And I had to, and then I'd clean all night. And that's how we kind of, that was my intro to owning not just a cleaning business, but any business. That was my first business. So through a lot of hard work, and again, I didn't have the systems or processes or not all the stuff that we teach, I was desperately lacking. And maybe that's why I get so passionate about what we do. We, through all of that, I just worked my way out of it. That was really it. You know, we'll give you the kind of the systems and processes that we coach you to use, but I didn't have those. I literally just worked really hard. I had nothing. I had given all the money I had to make this work. I owed more money than I'd ever seen. I didn't really have a choice. So I just worked my way out of it. And I worked my way out of cleaning into only cleaning as a filler or getting calls at midnight when someone lost keys. And it was brutal because we had accounts that were 7 days a week. We were commercial cleaning only. So we, you know, I was in the office all day. And then if you get a call at night, you got to go work then. Or, you know, you're having fun and you get a call in an emergency, someone didn't show up or they're locked out and you got to go. It sucked. It just, and it, even as a 22-year-old kid, I was not happy. Right. So I didn't have the aha then of what I needed to do. And I got so frustrated, even though I was making money and I was building something special, I sold it. And I was happy to get out. Thank goodness I sold it for a decent amount of money. I would have, I can be honest now, I probably have taken a nickel for the daggum thing. Well, I mean, I would have taken whatever I needed just to get out of it and fulfill my debt. But we actually made quite a bit of money, but I was so frustrated and so ready to get out. I missed a huge opportunity, right? Because I desperately wanted to grow a $1 million company. I had a very nice little foundation, but I didn't want to work nights. I didn't want to get all the frustration. Hey, Edwin from Charlotte. Good to have you, buddy. So I thought that selling was my only way out. The reality of the situation, hey, Evie Lynn in the house, good to see you, sister. The reality was selling was not my only way out. Systems to attract and keep the best employees are what I truly needed. I was just so young and didn't have the sophistication or experience to know that. So I was in so much pain, I sold what was really a good opportunity, really just to get out of the pain, right? And had I discovered then what I know today and what you're going to get today, it would have saved me, oh, I could have still had that business. It'd still be, oh my gosh, it would be, can't even think of how successful that business would be now. And I live in Phoenix now. I still think I could be running it from there and just letting that thing make money. It would have saved me years and years and years and years of headaches, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I tried hiring, just hiring more people all the time, begging, hiring the wrong people, people I knew weren't a fit, just letting them in, paying more money, taking them out to eat, offering benefits, everything I knew how to do with my little pea brain 22-year-old head, I did it. Nothing worked. And I was so frustrated because I sold that opportunity, right? And I don't want to say start over because I got paid, but I never got to see that work. So just about everyone that we coach, and that's why I have a feeling a lot of you guys and gals that are on here now or listening now, started wanting to be a business owner, right? Some people rarely start wanting to clean. Most people, certainly they're going to be listening here, wanted to be an owner, not a cleaner. The problem is a lot of times by the time that you all get to us, you've tried hiring and it was such a frustrating, ineffective process that you'd nearly given up and you just are ready to quit your dream, right? A lot of times people come to us last ditch, which sucks, right? If any of you guys are last ditch, let me know. We save people like you guys all the time, but I'd much rather come have you come and commit before you wait till the very end where you're like, I'm going to get a job. I got to quit. I'm going to sell this thing, right? So no need to wait until you're kind of at your wit's end. Get this solved whenever you're ready to get it solved, right? It's really much more about commitment and having the right systems than it is having to get beat. So anyway, often by time that the process was so, you know, I hired someone, they did this weird thing, they stole, they lied, they cheated, and they come to us and they're ready to give up on their dream or get this sorted out, which is nice because that desperation is oftentimes what it needs. So before we get to the framework, like I said at the beginning, we got to slay some mental dragons. If you have the wrong beliefs, the system that we're going to give you is not going to work. We got to get the right beliefs of how to interact with your business and what the truth about cleaning is and doing the work yourself. Then the framework will make sense. Hey, Amanda. Oh, we got two Amandas. We got Amanda Owens and Amanda Renshaw Pride from McKinney, Texas. Good to have you, sisters. All right. So let's just get some things that are going to keep you from wanting to clean that are not the truth. We got to kill those that won't get you a framework. First and foremost, your customers will not all quit. Right. Everybody, I don't know everybody, but it's very common for people to go, you don't understand. My customers need me. They only want me. Blah, 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 blah. Guess what? When I first started this podcast and coaching, everybody wanted me. And now we've got other coaches, mindset coaches, and our Facebook guy and Lindsay. We've got a team of people that sometimes, for depending on what it is, they want to talk to them more than me, which is fantastic. Right. So your customers, you may have pre-framed them wrong, that you're going to do everything and you're going to be their slave and you're personally going to clean. And they might think that they won't like it the new way, but honest to goodness, as long as you are professional and give them what they need, they won't care, right? So you guys come to us not because you want Mike Campion to personally help you. You might think that you want that, but what you really want is to grow or get freedom or to have more money or to have more impact in the world. And as long as we give you a system that creates that for you, even though you might have thought, oh, I want Mike, he's on the podcast, I feel like I know him, I like him, he's whatever, you just really want to make sure you get that result, right? Your people are the same way. So they might think that they want you. The reality is they just want a result, and they think that you're the only one to get a result. It's up to you. It's our job to teach them. All right, so you don't have to wade through. Here's another one that kills people from hiring. You don't have to wade through or even look at hundreds of applications. You don't have to deal with that. A system should be doing all of that BS stuff. So you got to get out of the fact, well, if I'm going to hire, I've got to put an ad out, I'm going to get 100 applications, I'll do everything I can to look at them, and I'll give up after 30. And then if you have a miserable process that you don't like, you don't have to do that. That's not required. Another one is, oh, my employee, no one will clean like me. That's such a lie from the pit of hell. Or maybe it's the truth. Who cares? You know what? The best, I use McDonald's all the time. The most successful hamburger joint out there that's made the most money and impact on the world is McDonald's, right? They're not the best hamburger. They're not even the top 20 best hamburgers, right? Their average is a gift, right? But they have systems and processes that work for them, right? So Mr. McDonald, Ray Kroc or whatever, was not the best hamburger maker out there. He knew that. He was a system maker. So you've got to get out of, I clean better than anyone. If that's the case, there's a guy that makes hamburgers better than anyone, and he is probably broke, because him making hamburgers is not, that's a job. Not, you know, he may work for some chef somewhere who can't make good hamburgers or some restaurant, but they pay him and they make a lot of money off of his hamburger. So we really just need a cleaning system. People aren't looking for the best hamburger out there. They're looking for, you know, a reliable hamburger, right? When we're traveling, you see the Golden Arches, you're like, well, it won't be the best hamburger, but I know they'll have clean bathrooms and maybe a play place for my kid, and it'll be safe and the price will be reasonable and I won't get sick. You know what you're getting. That's what we want to do for cleaning. Instead of being the best cleaner, you want to be the most reliable cleaner. Like, I know what I'm going to get. There's no surprises, right? So that way, as long as you believe you have some magic cleaning power that only you can do, well, then I guess you got to, that's called a job, right? I'd much rather have 100 employees that are 80% as good at cleaning than I am, that make thousands of happy customers, than me giving perfect cleaning, so to speak, to 7 customers, right? That ties in, by the way, by the other mind killer that's like, oh, I love cleaning. First of all, bull crap. Second of all, okay, if you love cleaning, clean your own house in your spare time, right? So if you want to own a business, pilots probably love flying, right? And that's fine if they want to be a pilot. But if they want to start an airline because they love flying, and they're like, hey, instead of running my company, I'm going to fly a plane, that's good for the pilot and his ego and what makes him happy. But he has no business owning a company, right? So if you want to be a cleaner, go get a job as a cleaner. Let an owner own the company and do that job, and you just clean for $10 an hour, right? If you'd like to own a company, you've got to get off of this, I love cleaning. Right, the CEO of American Airlines might love flying, but someone's got to run the daggum company. Pilots fly, right? Really important that you guys make that distinction. And here's the final thing. Yes, employees will do weird things. Sometimes they get, Christopher says, I make the best hamburgers and I'm broke. God bless you, Chris, for the honesty. We want to help you create systems and processes for other people to make okay hamburgers or good hamburgers, right? All right, so yes, employees will do weird things that make you scratch your head and go, what were they thinking? Once you start running it by the way we teach it, this is going to go away 80, 90%. But yes, there's still an opportunity someone might steal or break something or do something crazy. But those weird things that employees do are far less expensive than giving up your dream of owning a business So you have a cleaning job, right? Yes, the risk of an employee doing something wonky is there. It's fine. We have insurance. We make mistakes. We tell people, I'm sorry, we fired that person. Here you go, right? So maybe it costs you $1,000 or $2,000 in crazy employee tax every year. But if you're going to let that stand in the way of you having a business as opposed to a job, a cleaning job, owning a business ain't for you anyway, right? Like, you know, again, when stuff happens when all my employees quit on the first day, you got to be all in committed, okay? So really important that you get your mindset right. Your customers aren't all going to quit. You don't have to wade through thousands of applications personally. You don't have, your employees don't have to be you, right? They can clean their own thing. You don't really love cleaning. And if you do, you shouldn't be a CEO. You should be a cleaner. And even though employees are going to do nutball things that are befuddle you and you're just like, what were you thinking? Those weird things are far less expensive and life sucking than giving up your dream of owning a company. So now that we've got that down, that's the stuff that we kind of needed to be able to lay out the framework. Let's lay out the framework of exactly how to do this. It's really just three steps. And just so you guys know, I don't want to give the whole story here because I've told it before, but it took a divorce for me to figure this out, right? I sold my business and started another business and did okay, just again, because a lot of hard work, but I didn't really have the systems and processes. And when my wife left, not Natalie, who's been married to me for 10 years, she's amazing. This is 15 years ago. I was forced to figure out, I was just so devastated emotionally. I couldn't do it all myself like I'd always done, right? So I lost that ability and I didn't have any money because of the divorce. I was broke. I couldn't afford to pay attention. I couldn't afford one of those McDonald's Big Mac with a coupon and financing, right? I was broke. So I was forced to build a team without paying too much. So for the first time in my life, I couldn't do it myself and I couldn't, you know, rely on I'll just pay a lot. I had to figure out how to build a team. And I realized it wasn't in how much I paid them. It wasn't in me working hard because I couldn't do either of those. It was in the community I built on shared values. And that's what we're going to teach you how to do right now. So Here's your process. Step one, start by discovering, not deciding on your core values, right? When you try to decide on core values, you make fancy sounding corporate crap that's like, we endeavor to give shareholder value and blah, 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 right? Our core values, have fun, make money, be real, and help out. I discovered those 15 years ago, and my core values for multiple companies I've had since then are have fun, make money, be real, and help out. And guess what? Some people might not like them. I don't care. They're not for me. Some of you guys on this broadcast might go, that's stupid. Have fun at work. I don't dig this guy. He should be more serious. That's okay. We're not going to be a fit. Someone else will help you. But the people that like it are like, oh my goodness, that's exactly what I want. That's my coach. I want him to help me have it. That's what we're looking for. So first, you've got to start by discovering your core values, not deciding on, right? If I decided on core values when I had my construction company, I would have decided on core values that I thought those employees or customers would have liked. And then when I moved to my car dealership, I decided on core values. I thought those were right. And I would keep changing them. But the problem is once any of my employees or customers got to know me, they'd go, oh, you're not really that. You're faking it. We're just about to have our next level millionaire mastermind event here in about a month. I'm going to spend 3 days living with my next level millionaire mastermind people. I have no fear that they're going to discover I'm a fake because it's me, right? So it's really important that you have core values and they are who you are. You're not making fake core values you think people will like. You're understanding who you are and communicating that so you attract people that are already attracted to those values, right? You don't have to fake it. There are people in the world that are going to like your point of view and your perspective. That's the first part. That's the foundational part everybody misses. The second part that you have to have the mindset that we covered first, and then you have to understand your core values and be able to communicate them second, then and only then can you create an automated client or employee attraction funnel based on those values that attract the people that you like, that's why, or that like you. Evie Lynn, one of our clients, and Mariana say their core values are so needed. They are your success. It's so true. We've had hundreds of graduates of our program. I don't think I've ever had to kick anyone out, not one, because we are so core values based. The people that don't share our values typically don't show up and they don't make it through our process of weeding out the wrong clients either. And when they're in, it's just a big happy love fest because everyone else in the program shares those values and I share those values. So everyone's going, we're all rowing the same direction. So you're going to create an automated funnel based on those core values that's going to attract the right people. People that share, have fun, make money, be real, help out, aren't just going to be a little attracted. They're going to be crazy attracted. And some people aren't going to dig it and they're going to be repulsed. That's fine. We don't want them in our world anyway. And the reality is you can teach anyone to clean. You can't teach people to be real, right? If people are like, I don't want to be real at work. I put on my facade, my mask. I just want to go and do my job. I don't want to know these people. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. They'll make a great employee somewhere else, not in my organization. So you can teach cleaning. You cannot teach core values. And it's frustrating. It's time consuming. And it's a fool's errand to try and make people be something they don't want to be. All right, here's the third step, and this sounds obvious, and it is. Run your company and make all of your decisions based on those core values. So my team for the last 10, 15 years have been able to make any decision they want. They can hire, they can fire, they can spend money, they can take on clients or tell clients to piss off, as long as they can justify to me how it best represented having fun, making money, being real, and helping out. So as long as, and that's what you can do, right? So that's how you run your company based on that. You run all decisions that you and your employees make through that same, is this the best way? What's the best way to have fun for me, for the customer, for the employee? How can I be real as a person? How can we be real to everybody, be honest? How can we help out? How can we serve the most people? How can we make money for us, for our clients, and for our employees? If they run it through that kind of filter, whatever decision they come up with is going to be fine. This is what frees you, not just from cleaning, but from cleaning everything. Yeah, Evie Lynn says, they won't even take clients that match our core values. We're the exact same way. We get like 200-300 people a month that call and wanting help. We'll take 10 or 20. We only take core values fits. This is what frees you, not only from cleaning, but from everything, right? Because you don't need a 300-page operations manual. You don't need to micromanage. You can just tell people, you have four rules or three or five, you know, whatever your core values are. For us, we have four rules in our company. Have fun, make money, be real, help out. Well, what happens if this and then the customer wants or this and we wanted to, I don't know, what's the best way to have fun, make money, be real, and help out? And once you teach your employees to think like that, you don't have to be there anymore. They can make decisions on their own, right? Not only did it allow me to take months, sometimes years off my company and then still sell it for seven figures, I'm now able to start and run any company I want with an amazing team of people making most of the important decisions, right? It really frees me up and empowers my people. They love being here because they know I trust them, right? Our Millionaire Mastermind, we talked about the event coming up. Someone will travel 2-3 weeks. They'll come to an event, which is only 2 or 3 days, and they'll just do stuff because they can be away from their business financially and time-wise, right? So, again, when I figured all this out, I was just trying to make money and survive, and I did that. But the real transformation was the ability to start from nothing and build a team over and over, repeatable, of top talent from anywhere in the world. Right now, none of our team members that you talk, Lindsay, I think is on this thing. She's in, I want to say New York. I think it's Queens. I'm not sure if it's Brooklyn. One of the five boroughs Lindsay's in right now, right? I'm in Phoenix. That's just how it is. The big thing is you can go from cleaner to manager, which is a big step up, to creator leader. And that's where you have the most fun, you get the most impact, and you can live the life that you want to live. If you are getting value and you dig this, subscribe, rate, review. Like I said, I tell you how to get a free copy of my book, I'm a Freaking Genius, Why Is This Business So Hard? We talk a lot about core values in there. You can really understand it. And it's fun, by the way. A lot of people hear a book and they're like, ah, she's in Broad Channel Queens. All right, I was right, Queens. I got it. I had a girl. So he talks a lot about core values. And how to use them. And it's fun. I know a lot of business books are dry as a bone. It's a lot more fun even than the podcast because I was able to hone in some humor. I promise you'll enjoy reading it. If you want a free copy, just message me on personal, just direct message me on Instagram. I subscribed or I rated or I gave you a review to the podcast or I referred a friend to the podcast. I'll get you a free copy of I'm a Freaking Genius, Why Is This Business So Hard? Everything else that we offer, over 500 podcasts, an on-demand training that's excellent. It's all at growmycleaningcompany.com, as well as our Facebook group. There's so much cool stuff. If you are committed to growing your cleaning company, growmycleaningcompany.com is where you need to go. Can't wait to see you and serve you. Talk soon, Cleaning Nation. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.